worship in the Old Testament, and we looked at, I believe, three so far. So the first is what?
True worship.
The first is true worship is what? True worship is motivated by, okay, let's just say it together. True worship is motivated by fear of the Lord and love for God with a whole heart and mind, more than just rituals. Good. Okay, we asked those questions. Second, worship of the Hebrews was an active experience, right? We had a good talk about this last week, didn't we? I thought our final 15 minutes of discussion in this class was fascinating. And then especially to see how people actually sit, you know, now we actually see, like, you know, I labeled it, you know, now exactly how we sit in the pockets of people that we want to discuss with and sit around. And yet there was a totally different perspective here than in these two tables. And what Joshua said at the end was just a beautiful testimony of our church. What was a beautiful testimony of this particular church that Joshua had said? Do you guys know? Did anybody catch it? Or was it just me? Nancy?
Oh, the different generation.
Yes.
Diversity.
And what about it?
Get the different opinions. And
okay. He said... He said, it is a blessing to be in the room, right? Or he prayed that to be in a room with a diverse and different generations so that he can get a different perspective. So imagine if this classroom was just these two tables right here. And everyone in this table was saying, oh, this church is passive, passive, passive. And they're always going to think this church is passive because people are not raising up their hands, you know, doing the, you know, and every time Pastor Alex asks for, you know, praises and thanksgiving, like, no one talks. And it's like, we're so passive. But after he said he hears the perspective of all the brothers and sisters on these whatever, three tables down the line here on the left side, on this side of the room, he said it helped him to go, oh, that's a different perspective. Yeah, I guess from that perspective, our church is active in worship, right? Because there's a lot of heart, because it was a look at the heart. When Peter said last week, active and passive, that our church is, he said it more in a kind of a neutral, slightly positive way, that our church is on the way, on a good path of becoming a more and more active worshiping body of believers, right? An active being that we are participating in ministering to others. There's a lot of people pouring their heart and self into serving others in the church. We do see that. We see a very active body of believers, growingly active, right? So I thought that was great. I thought it was phenomenal that Joshua picked up on that nuance, and then he prayed that way. And that is a, you know, Bex and I were having a cup of coffee on Monday together, and we're just like, that really is a testimony of our church. Really. The fact that even in a sermon, I myself hate translation. I do not like translation. But the fact is, and I always come to fight for the people, like the youth don't like translation. They don't grow when there's translation. They start to lose focus. But then I hear Chinese people lose focus when it's translated, when you understand both languages. And yet, despite all of this limitation, despite it, despite us having a translated message every Sunday, we see the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God actively transforming lives at our church. Amen. That gives me reason to not have to hammer that and say, oh man, we're a terrible church because we have translation. Yeah, it's true. Someone coming in for the first time might be like, this is going to do nothing for me. But anybody who's been here has been able to see lives change. And perhaps even those that pulpit with a translation changing you, then you say, wow, this is not, it's not how we structure what we do. It's not how, oh, we don't have a 5-person worship band and lights and fog machine and a worship pastor up there, and we don't have that. But people are growing. People are becoming more like Christ. Not to say that we can't ever do that stuff. Not to say that we won't ever have a separate Chinese or English worship service. But let's not get hung up on things. Let's praise God to see what God is doing. People are becoming more and more active in their worship at our church. And that's true. Okay? Good? Great conversation last week. So there was an importance of words, as we saw in Old Testament worship. The words of what? Oath-taking. We talked about that a long time last week. Of what? Praise and thanksgiving. Okay? We didn't do a lot of that to this morning still, but that's okay. Of
prayer.
Of joyful song and confession. Great. Okay, so we talked about that. That's where we ended last week, I think. Okay, then we're on number 3. Okay, ready? Here we go. Worshiping God includes what? Both willingly and blank of what you have to God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 6 through 9, and let's see the worship of one perspective of worshiping God in the Old Testament. Okay? So go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 29, 6 through 9. And you guys can shout it out. It won't be too hard. And then we're going to jump into some discussion on this today. Why don't we just read 6 through 9, okay? Someone get to it, and then we will read it together. Okay, anybody there? 1 Chronicles 29, 6 through 9, please.
Then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of the Lord 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, in the care of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly.
Okay, so this is the context of what? This is offerings for the temple, okay? The temple that David so wanted to build, he did not, but he was able to give to it. Prior to this in the context, David has said to all the people that he's going to give his own kind of above and beyond free will giving. Okay? And then the people responded as David blessed them. And then all the leaders of the fathers' houses, okay? So that's, you know, represents all the people, made their free will offerings, all their giving. And then whoever even had precious stones gave to this, and people were just giving willingly. So, worshiping God includes what?
Giving.
Both willingly and what?
Joyfully.
Generously. I don't know what I meant there. We'll see. Of what you have to God. Let's see what I put. I don't know what. I actually forgot. Generously. Worshiping God includes giving both willingly and generously of what you have to God. Okay? You guys have read 1 Chronicles 29 before. It's just a powerful, powerful perspective. I'm going to read to you even David's prayer to the Lord in response to the generous and joyful giving of the people. Okay? I'm just going to read. Let's see. That's great. Okay, this is just some great praise, and then I'm going to go through 14. Okay? Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of the assembly. Okay? Words, remember? Worship with words. And David said, blessed are you. Okay, look at the praise and thanksgiving here. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we, as an assembly, thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people? Look at the heart of giving here. That we should be able thus to offer willingly. For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Do you see that perspective? Do you see the perspective here? You see, what are the different elements of David's prayer? What is happening in David's prayer so far? Give me some perspective of what we just read. What do you see there? What do you see in the first, you know, verse 10? Verse, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, pray of what? Like, praising God for who he is, right?
Acknowledging that everything belongs to him.
Okay, and that's the second part in verse 13, right? That it is acknowledging that everything that they have comes from him, but what is the attitude of giving that he has? Someone try to put that in words. What is his attitude? What is happening in his being, in his heart and mind?
It's almost like they don't deserve to give.
There you go. Like, it's almost as if they don't deserve to give this offering to God. Like, who are we that we can even give this to you? Why would he think that way, Joshua?
Because if you think about it, you can't give away something that's originally not yours.
Okay. You can't even give away what's not yours? Okay, that's a perspective. Think about what Joshua just said. You cannot even give away what is not yours. I can't offer Milton's phone to Joshua. Hey, bro, happy birthday. I want to give you a gift. That's not mine. What's another perspective of why they wouldn't feel deserved? Is that a word? Deserved? Deserving to give? Why? Why do you think that is? You guys thinking about it? Why would someone not feel like I could give a gift to someone? Or I could give someone something. I'll just think about it. Like, I'm just playing around here. It's not like it's a super complex thinking. Just, I don't know, give me some thoughts. What do you guys think? Do you need to talk amongst yourselves?
Like, Joshua? The gift's not good enough for God.
The gift is not good enough? Okay. Keep going with that, yes?
You're not humble enough.
Okay, yeah. Or maybe you are so humble, but you're not what enough? Maybe you're not good enough. Can anyone just offer something to a king? See, again, like Pete, I think Pete and I were talking about this as we were studying this last week or the week before, something like that. He came up to me, he goes, man, I think we struggle with the concept of fear of God and worship because we don't fear anything in America. We don't fear any leader, we don't fear any person, right? There's not respect. There's not honor for someone higher than you. Even people at work, the way people treat their bosses, Like, you don't have, like, reverence. The only reason why you might fear your boss is maybe just because he might fire you or that you won't get another raise. But there's not, like, reverence for somebody. Peter said we struggle with that. We don't have a king in America. England still has a king, the royal line, the monarchy. But even in England, I think there's a definite slide, a backsliding of reverence for the monarchy. I don't think in this world today there's a lot of like reverence for people and things. And I think that might be why it's hard for us to imagine, why would David even write to God, who am I, or say to God, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to even offer you this willingly? Who are we that you would even receive a gift from us? It's not a lack of humility. I think there is humility there. Do you see that? That's the attitude. The attitude is deep humility. Like, I want to give to you, God. I want to give you so much, but are you even going to receive my offering? Like, I want to give you all that you have given to me, but is it even worthy of you? Do you see that attitude here? When was the last time you gave anything to God and you felt, am I even worthy of giving this to you? Right? I mean, his prayer is pretty rich, is it not? I think it tells us quite a bit about his attitude in giving to God. My mom was asking me yesterday, she's teaching, you know, her Sunday school class, or it was a few days ago, and she says, I just don't understand, like, why is David a man after God's own heart? Why is he called that? Why is he called that? What is it about him that makes him that? I think you look at the heart of this prayer right here, there's something to that. Okay? And then I loved what Joshua said. How can you even give what's not yours? So there's an acknowledgement of David that says, everything that we have actually is yours. It has come from you. Everything that we are giving to you is what you have first given to us. When in this day and age, and the Christians that have been so misled by this world's thinking of me, myself, and I, and the narcissistic thinking and the I-focusedness that everything that you have is yours. Raise your hand if you feel confident to say, yeah, I know that everything that I have is from God. Every dollar in my bank account, the clothes that I wear, the devices that I use, every gift is from God. I don't think there's one person who can boldly say, yeah, the last offering that I gave to God, the last check I wrote to God, the last thing that I offered God was an acknowledgement that this is straight up not even mine. I'm giving back to God exactly what is God's. So I'm not losing anything, right? Because that's what we usually think. Oh my God. Yeah, I want to give this offering for $100, but that's a lot of money. Maybe only 50 this time, because 100's a lot. I'm going to be losing a lot more. You see what I'm saying? Like, oh man, I think I'm just going to cut that number down just in the last minute, you know? I'm just going to cut it down a little bit because that's a lot. I'm losing a lot. When was the last time we thought that, man, every penny of this is God's? Like, and God, I'm not even worthy of giving this to you. I wonder. And I think when we look at worship in the Old Testament, there is, I mean, look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a what? A what? With a what? Whole heart. They had offered freely to the Lord. That was number one, right? Worshiping God with a whole heart and mind. And they gave with a whole heart freely to the Lord. And when they gave willingly, they what? Rejoiced. When was the last time you gave an offering and you were just like, yes, 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 yes? I mean, you guys are not like me, so you wouldn't express it that way. I know these two tables think that Pastor Alex is very active worship because I'm very like, yes. But in your heart, you're like, right? When was the last time you gave an offering to God? And in your heart, you were so delighted. You were like, that made my week. That made my week. I gave to the Lord and I'm so happy. Anytime, like, ever? Ever. Ooh. Not when was the last time, how about ever? Rejoicing in giving. All right, here's a few questions for us. Oh man, they're supposed to kind of pop up one by one. Does it matter?
No.
Oh yes, it does. Because I do this. I do this so they kind of build on each other. But I have to do my animation. I have to animation by paragraph. Click. Okay. Become a Google expert. Google Slides expert. Okay, here we go. Get into your groups and let's talk. Okay, we're going to talk about this. Okay, big section here. Why do Christians tend to forget the aspect of giving in their worship to God? And I think you could talk about all the things that we just brought up. Joshua brought up a great number of points. Scott brought up a point there. You know, a lot of us are bringing up these points. Talk about even some of this feedback of what I just led you through. We just looked at a heart that is humble in giving. A heart that doesn't feel worthy of even giving. Right? A heart that when you give, not just anything, specifically the people and David gave willingly and generously is what it says. And the fact that when they gave, everyone was so delighted. Everyone, it is, you rejoiced. And yet my question to us is, why do we even forget? Why is giving not high on our list? And then we see giving of David and the people of Israel, the Hebrews, and that their worship was so rich because of willing and generous giving. Okay? Talk about that in your group. Give you guys time to discuss this. And all the different things that we talked about, I think it's pretty fascinating.
Nancy has a question.
No, it's so candid.
We are not going to talk about the difference between tithing and offering and giving today. I've already done Sunday school classes on that. But in general, in the New Testament picture, there's not a picture of tithing. It's a picture of giving. Okay? So we shouldn't necessarily have to use the word tithing today, except it gives people a benchmark. Okay? Because we're not under a theocracy. We're not giving a tenth to the Lord. It's a good benchmark, okay? But we don't tithe today. Some people say that we tithe. Really, we should have willing and generous giving. So 10%, 20%, 50%, 80%. I know somebody who signed their business over to God. Okay? That's 100%. Like, it's all yours. It all belongs to you. Okay, I don't know if that was your question, but okay. 'Alright, how are you guys doing with that question? Why do you think Christians tend to forget the aspect of giving in their worship to God? Or what did you guys talk about that you thought was interesting? This group was done talking like 10 minutes in, or like, you know, 2 minutes in, so. What do you guys feel? You must have like just a phenomenon. I'm just kidding.
We just basically said that, like, a lot of times when we work or we do school work, we feel like we always deserve something. So then we always, like Americans, we hate taxes.
Okay.
And, like, in the same way that, like when you get taxes.
I don't think anyone enjoys taxes.
Yeah.
But yes.
But, like,
so just, like, you feel like you're getting taxed.
No, not like that, but, like, as in, like, as Americans.
Like, God, I made this money. You don't tax me.
We always feel like we're obligated to have that money, and to give that up is almost like what we kind of discussed. It's almost like we're kind of like giving away not for our own use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So you're giving up your opportunity to use the money. Something like that?
Something like that.
Is that what I'm hearing or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How about the rest of you guys down this table? Anybody here? Okay, how about over here? How about you guys?
I think it comes down to, I think, valuing ourselves higher and more important than God. So I think we, like, played around with a couple of different
mm-hmm.
ways that plays out, but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, I need this money more than God needs it.
I need this money more than God needs. Yeah, why does God need money? I mean, he's God, right? I mean, he gave the money to me, if we even think that way.
Right.
Or it's like, I made this money. Like, why does God need it? So are you saying that when people give to God, they might be like, you know, God doesn't need this. Is that what you guys are saying?
That's one of the... Yeah, one of the ideas.
Okay. God doesn't need this. I do. I got to pay the bills. Like, God has no bills to pay. I mean, it must cost a lot for the universe to stay.
Well, the other thing we said was, like, you know, well, God understands my needs. Like, he doesn't need this. I need it right now. Well, God knows. He can justify
it. So you're saying God knows that I need this money. Right. Yeah, that's another one, right? But you're genuine, right? It's not like... You're not being even maybe selfish with that.
Yeah.
It's just saying, like, I think God knows that I need this money more right now. Okay. And it's like, maybe it's like, it's not like I don't give. It's just like, right now I'm not going to give because I need this money. Like, God knows. God knows what I'm facing. Okay.
But I think the difference, though, not that that thought's
okay.
Not okay.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I think it's the point of which the focus is on the self.
Okay, the focus is on self. Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah.
It's not on God. It's making reasons to be able to keep your money.
Yes.
Well, it's also, I think, the view of God. Like, oh, God should be blessing me or giving me...
Wow. Okay, that's another thought. Okay, so God, you know, God's the one who has all the blessings. It comes from him. He should be blessing me. And I deserved to be taken care of by God. Maybe?
Sure.
So... This group seems to be talking a lot about when we think about money and giving and generosity, this group is saying it stopped because your focus is more on yourself and not on God.
Yeah. And so when you give, it's kind of like duty versus delight.
Okay, duty versus delight in giving. Oh, we have to give. Because it's the right thing to do. Or God knows me right now. So it's okay to not give. We're too tight. Or maybe we're not even too tight. It's just like, we need to go. We need this vacation. We need this. So this is going to my pleasure slush fund. Okay, good. All right, next group down the line.
No. We had a lot of random
okay.
ideas.
Okay. Okay, so the first thing, so when we think about worship, finance doesn't come to mind. We don't worship God with money.
Well, kind of. It's like a separate thing, like thinking of it. Oh, it's just like donations, perhaps.
Oh, donations.
So
that's a different word, too, right? Donations. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Often it can become kind of like
taboo in the church, and right. So when it's not reinforced, then
good.
It's not part of our habit.
Good point. Very good point. It's not talked about, and it's not talked about, so it doesn't become kind of ingrained in our system that it is a part of our worship. Good.
And then I think also we can mention, like, with the immigrant perspective, where you just, like, save so much.
Yes.
Like, it's worked so hard to save that.
Yes.
And so you're not as generous.
Yes.
Continuing that, like, even when you have enough.
Yes.
That habit of, like, generosity.
Good. Very good. You know, I tell Bex with that because we struggle sometimes in our view of money, okay? And I, you know, just really quickly, I remember very vividly when I was in elementary school when my parents were having this big conversation around the table, and they're an immigrant, poor immigrant family, and they were cutting these plastic cards. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they said in a very grave way or whatever way, it seemed like a movie played out in my mind. It's like, we got into credit card trouble. We were spending money we didn't have. Don't get into this type of trouble. And I watched them cut credit cards. So I'm like super, and then I remember when everybody's going back to school shopping and all my friends have all the name brand, they could buy whatever, real Nike stuff. And I could not. We went to the swap meet and I had these like, USA Freedom t-shirts, like 10 for a dollar, you know, something like that, or 10 for $10. And I wanted to find skateboard clothing, but they're all fake, right? It was like made not in Taiwan or Mexico, I don't even know. And I remember that I wanted Nike so bad, or real Vans, but I could never have them. I had to go to Payless and buy the fake Nikes. And I could never have it. I just didn't grow up with it. And so my perspective of money today is a little bit different from Beck's. Even when I made good money, I was still so thrifty and so careful of spending because I'm like, I just don't, it's hard for me. Because I grew up in an immigrant family. And it was hard for us.
Because I feel that my boys are more generous than we do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Yes, good, yes, right, good. Okay, thank you for bringing that point. Okay, in the back, anything else?
Many different ideas,
yeah.
The same ones, but about too many worldly influences.
Worlds.
So, you've got, you know, buy this, buy that, all the advertising.
Yes,
Unfortunately, after that, you don't have much money left.
That's right.
Too worldly to get the economy.
Hey, I spent, God knows though, right? You know, with this group up here, it's like, God understands. I had to buy all these things. Like, I have nothing left to give to him. Right? Good point.
Well, there's some others too, if you don't mind.
Please.
The other thing is about, say, one partner is Christian, one's not.
Oh, that's...
That can be a source of friction.
That's right.
Oh, you got the advice, no, don't do that.
Yes.
So that's
one spouse wants to give to God. And the other is like, what are you kidding? I don't even believe in God. By the way, that's why we should never be unequally yoked. All you young people, you should not be dating, and you should be staying far away from dating and marrying non-Christians. And even in spiritual level, though, I will add to Scott, even a more mature believer versus a less mature believer, you're going to argue about how much you want to give or how much you want to save for the Lord or whatever. Same thing, right? Because one of the biggest reasons why couples argue and have issues in their marriage is because of money. How you spend or how you save money, right? So if you're not aligned in that, you're going to have a rocky marriage, right? Good.
But if you're talking about
class can blame you for not
giving offerings or give to God before taxes or after taxes.
Good.
And again, it can be friction in a couple.
Absolutely. We're already giving after taxes. That's like, you know, a lot. Because your before tax dollars, your percentage, if you're going by tithing, is going to be a lot greater. I don't think we necessarily need to hold to tithing, personally. I think it's a benchmark. You know, so if you don't know what to do, yeah, you always start with 10%. But giving the pattern that we see is well beyond that. right? It's giving, right? Okay. All right, let's go for some questions. And so when you go pre-tax versus post-tax, after-tax, I used to struggle with that too. I asked my good Christian counselor, who was also a tax accountant, you know? And, you know, when we talk about taxation and we give the government pre-tax dollars, right? But let's not give God pre-tax dollars, right? There's a thought right there already, right? Okay. As Christians, is giving an active or passive form of worship? Everybody says? Should giving be active worship?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what we're looking at today. Giving should be an expression of our worship. See, I'm not going to categorically say that everyone was thinking active worship was hands in the air. Okay, I'm not going to say that. But the fact that I think you guys were kind of hedging on the fact that our church is not as expressionate, I think that's what you guys were saying here, right? But all we're doing, see, in these different aspects of worship is showing that worship is well beyond a expressiveness that we might think. Financial giving is an expression of our worship. And I'll tell you right now, just for a fact, all the people older than you guys are worshiping you way more than you are, at least. Okay? For the young people. Because you guys don't have a lot of income, you're not practiced in that. Even if you had a summer job, I don't know if you were taught or thought that I'm giving this to God. Right? But even in like Chinese English congregation splits, Chinese church English, you know, the reason why there's a, anyways, I'm not gonna go there. Okay. Our church though is interesting. This is a topic that this group brought up over here in the back. Our church does not pass around an offering plate or even have a time for the body to give an offering. We don't have that. Most churches do. 99% of churches that I've ever visited have a time of passing the plate or the bag. There's music, there's prayer. It is part of worship. It is part of the whole worship service. We don't do that. Is that good or bad? Why don't you guys talk about that in your group for like 1 minute? Okay, I'm going to give you guys short time because we got like 2 minutes left. Good or bad? Because you know we don't do that, right? Is passing the plate good or bad, or not passing the plate good or bad? All right, that's 1 minute. I'm sorry. We got to come back together. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you love the discussion, but our dear brother Scott cut us off earlier. I'm just kidding. All right, so what do you guys think? Good or bad? That we do not pass around an offering plate or even have a time for the body to give offering. Some say, okay, who says good? Who says bad? Who says both? Okay, good and bad. Give me some reasons why it is good that we don't have a pass plate time.
Get more money.
We don't get more money?
You get more money.
Oh, you get more money if you pass a plate around. Okay, so it's actually bad. So that's bad that we don't pass a plate around.
Well, I say it's a good thing.
Right. Yeah. No. We totally get what you're saying. It's just I phrased my question a certain way. We do not pass the plate around. Is that good or bad? So you're saying bad because we don't get as much money. Okay.
I'm doing bad or good right now.
Yeah, whatever. I'm saying good. It's good. Why is it good? Why is it good? Good because?
It's good because you don't feel like obligated or like pressure from like the people around you.
Okay, yeah, you're like, oh man, I'm pulling out my $1 bill. Oh, I hope nobody sees this. Right? Right? Is that what it is? A little pressure. A little pressure. Or you want to be really spiritual, you're like dropping the whole wad in here. It's all ones. Okay. All right? Why else is it good that we don't pass it around?
Gives you more time for worship.
Gives you more time for that type of worship, corporate worship, okay? Okay. Gives you more time for singing, more time for music. The pastors can preach over time. Great. I'll do that more. Actually, I don't do that, but okay. Why else?
It's your team.
I'm saying, why is it good that we don't pass it around? Because it can become too routine, like everything else. It's just like, okay, pass the plate time. Okay, whatever. I'm checking out, like I usually do for any routines. Okay, plate's coming around. There it goes, right? Here it comes, there it goes. All right? Any other good reasons?
I always like the passage in Matthew that says, let your left hand not know.
Mm-hmm.
To your right hand.
Good.
That's
right. That's right. If your left hand shouldn't even know what your right hand is giving, and yet you're letting everybody see both hands, you know, that's going kind of against that principle, right? Yes?
I remember Elder Chu say, you don't pass the bag is because you learn our faith.
Yes, you practice your faith. And that's good and bad. See, right there, that's good and bad. Because you practice your faith in secret, in private. There's good and bad to that. Because sometimes it's also good to practice. The apostles, in the time of the apostles, the early church, they literally laid stuff in front of everybody. They brought it that day as they gathered, and they would just bring it in front of the apostles, lay it at their feet. Bags of money, property, whatever, food, produce. It's just like, here, just pass it out and give to wherever there's need. That's how it worked. It was very visible. But they didn't do like, okay, we're going to sing a song, and everybody start bringing up your offering to the front, right? It didn't work that way. But when they gathered, people just brought what they had, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, is what the scripture tells us, when Acts. Okay.
When I first attend the church, I'm not a believer, but when the man came to me, I have to give some money.
Believe.
I don't believe, but I have to give. I think if I don't give someone money, the others will look me down.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
But I want to give a small bill, but I don't have small bill.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! I can only give my 100, my 20.
So as a church, I'm very curious.
You're very mad, right?
Yeah, I'm very mad.
But, you get the change. Here. You put in your 100 and you're like, okay, I'm going to take out the money back. You take money out of the bag, put it in your pocket, right? Yeah, see? And what does that do? Okay, see, this opens up more questions. Because it is true, a non-believer coming, I know a lot of non-Christians that hate that. I'm not going to go to church and pass the bag around. Hey, you know what? We make our non-Christians feel so comfortable here. Oh, you never have to pay for anything. You know, we're not going to put a bag around you, right? But you know what? A genuine non-Christian, they probably won't like a lot of the things that we do. They're going to think that we pray too long, that we sing too long, and we preach too long, right? A non-Christian will be unhappy if there's an offering plate or not. Who is the worship service for on Sunday? See, that's a question to think about. And right here, I heard the youth say, Christians. That's because I have indoctrinated people to know that when the body meets together, this is for the believers. But if you go to so many other churches and you see signs outside, I'm going to be working with Milton to design a new sign outside, okay? And a lot of church signs says, welcome, everyone, anyone can come in here. That means they want non-Christians to come anytime. We have a certain type of music so non-Christians will feel comfortable. We don't pass a plate so non-Christians will feel comfortable. Is that good or bad? I'll just tell you that our church, at least in this season, we're very clear that this is a time for believers to be worshiping God together. And the non-Christians can come and see it. They can witness it. They're seeing what we're doing. If we ever passed a plate around, I would say the same thing that we say for the Lord's Supper. I would say, this is for believers. This is for believers. This is an opportunity of worship for believers. If you're not a believer, you don't have to feel guilty about doing anything. And even for believers, like, we've given you envelopes. that sometime earlier today you slipped it in already. You don't have to show people that you gave a dollar or $1,000. It doesn't matter, right? But anyways, okay, that's good. Why is it bad that we don't pass a plate? Because Milton says we don't get as much money. Okay? No, money man. I'm just kidding. We're taking you out of context. Would you like to explain that more?
I just thought like,
no, I think we agree with you. The plate goes around, people are being reminded. People are being reminded. That's what you mean, right? So people are being reminded to give. How else is passing a plate or bag good? Because you guys said it's good and bad. Who says it's good?
I think there's also the aspect of like, while it is, yes, individual giving is good, but also to remember that this is as a people giving to the
Yes, that's right. So that's why I said Elder Chu's comment, that this is a chance to practice your faith. Yes, it is practicing your faith a little bit, but it's practicing your faith in secret and as an individual or as an individual family. But we are then not expressing or practicing our faith corporately together to say we are all now. What we just read in Chronicles, that was a corporate group of giving. That was like we are giving together. We are seeing each other give. And that's encouraging too. We're now seeing, I'm now seeing a younger believer who has never given, who got baptized like a few weeks ago, like giving together with me, and we're giving to God's cause and God's kingdom, right? So yes, you get to practice it good, your faith in private and individually, but as Serena said, when you do this together, you do it as a whole body, right? Okay? We're going to stop here. There's a lot of stuff to think about. What I want to say, especially for the young people here, and even for everybody else, is that there is a pattern happening at this church. And I don't want us to ever think that other churches out there that don't do things the same exact way that we do are bad. Are there bad churches out there? Yes. Are there good churches out there? Yes. And there's plenty of good churches that pass the plate around. And there's plenty of good churches that invite non-Christians to come in for their worship service to make it friendly for them. Okay? I just want you guys to know that. And these exercises help us to process through that. That we have taken a position set by our dear, beloved Elder Chu. And Pastor James and I feel fairly convicted to that. But I see both sides. To me, it's very clear. There's a blessing to pass the plate around. There's a blessing when you do it the right way. And it's not a routine. It reminds people in a healthy way, this is our expression of worship to God. We give. And we can talk about it. And we can preach about it. You guys with me? Okay? All right. So we won't cover the last question. I think that's pretty good today. If you guys have any questions, you can stick around. I'd like to ask for any volunteer to pray. We've had a couple people on this side of the room volunteer to pray. Each time, can I ask a volunteer from this side of the room to actively express in a closing prayer? Anybody on this side of the room, just feel blessed and honored to pray. Go ahead and do that.
Dear Lord, please look out for our incoming deacons today and this very important installation ordination program today at our church. We know that this is a blessing to you, as you detailed in the book of 1 Timothy. Thank you for our group of believers here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for allowing us to witness and to worship you in this country, Lord. Mm-hmm. We are free to do so. Like other countries, like China, is very restricted. Thank you, dear, for gathering over together here today. Bless those that are not here with us today or traveling or homeless. I think we're wonderful. picnic we had yesterday with so many friends and believers and non-believers and who attended and had a wonderful time yesterday in fellowship. And plus our Sunday school teachers, plus all the Sunday school teachers and our pastors today, just Elder James today as he speaks and does, you know, for the ordination for the incoming deacons today. Thank you, Lord, for everything. And really thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to have this daily or this weekly system of Sunday school and learn so much about the chronicles and so much other things that we can't find elsewhere. You know, Satan will attack us, but help us to fight it off. Thank you, Lord, for everything, and thank you for this wonderful sermon today coming up and also one of Sunday school. Yes. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Lastly, my last comment to you is if you want to see the main passage in the New Testament about giving, it's in 2 Corinthians 9. I think, okay? 1 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Okay? So if you want to look at that, just the first paragraph right in there, you will see that that is like our banking passage on New Testament giving. Okay? I think 2 Corinthians 9, correct? Okay. Just I was going to read that together as an end, but we just blew out of time.